Chapter 8 of Gems, Self-Realization. The state we call realization is simply being oneself, not knowing anything or becoming anything. If one has realized he is that which alone is and which alone has always been, he cannot describe that state. He can only be that. Of course, we loosely talk of self-realization for want of a better term. That which is peace. All that we need do is to keep quiet. Peace is our real nature. We spoil it. What is required is that we cease to spoil it. We are not going to create space anew. There is space, for instance, in a hall, a room. We fill up the place with various articles. If we want space, all that we need do is to remove all those articles and we get space. Similarly, if we remove all the rubbish from the mind, the peace will become manifest. That which is obstructing the peace must be removed. Peace is the only reality. Mukti, or liberation, is our nature. It is another name for us. Our wanting mukti is a very funny thing. It is like a man who is in the shade, voluntarily leaving the shade, going into the sun, feeling the severity of the heat there, making great efforts to get back into the shade, and then rejoicing. How sweet is the shade! I have, after all, reached the shade. We are doing exactly the same. We are not different from the reality. We imagine we are different, that is, we create the beta bhava, the feeling of difference, and then undergo great sadhanas to get rid of the beta bhava and realize the oneness. Why imagine or create the beta bhava and then destroy it? It is false to speak of realization. What is there to realize? The real is as it is ever. How to realize it? All that is required is this. We have realized the unreal that is regarded as real, what is unreal. We have to give up this attitude. That is all that is required for us to attain jnana. We are not creating anything new or achieving something which we did not have before. The illustration given in the books is this. We dig a well and create a huge pit. The akasa, or space, in the pit or well has not been created by us. We have just removed the earth which was filling the akasa there. The akasa was there then and is also there now. Similarly, we have simply to throw out all the age-long samskaras or innate tendencies which are inside us. When all of them have been given up, the self will shine alone. Effortless and choiceless awareness is our real state. If we can attain it or be in it, it is all right. But one cannot reach it without effort, the effort of deliberate meditation. All the age-long vasanas or impressions carry the mind outwards and turn it to external objects. All such thoughts have to be given up and the mind turned inward. For that, effort is necessary for most people. Of course, everybody, every book says, be quiet or still. but it is not easy. That is why all this effort is necessary. Even if you find one who has at once achieved the mona, silence, or supreme state, you may take it that the effort necessary has already been finished in a previous life. Such effortless and choiceless awareness is reached only after deliberate meditation. The books no doubt speak of shravana, hearing, manana, reflection, and nididhyasa, practice, samadhi, and shakshatara, realization. We are always the shakshat, real, and what is there for one to attain, karum, achievement of that. We call the world shakshat or pratyaksha, directly perceived. What is changing, what appears and disappears, what is not shakshat, we regard as shakshat. We are always and nothing can be more directly present, pratyaksha, than we. And about that we say we have to attain shakshakara after all the sadhanas. Nothing can be more strange than this. The self is not attained by doing anything, but remaining still and being as we are. We say that we see with the eyes alone is pratyaksha. We say that what we see with the eyes alone is pratyaksha. There must first be the seer before anything could be seen. You are yourself the eye that sees, the infinite eye referred to in Uladu Na Padu, reality in 40 verses. People are afraid that when ego or mind is killed, the result may be a mere blank and not happiness. What really happens is the thinker, the object of thought, and the thinking all merge in one source, which is consciousness and bliss itself, and thus that state is neither inert nor blank. I do not understand why people should be afraid of that state in which all thoughts cease to exist and the mind is killed. They are every day experiencing that state in sleep. There is no mind or thought in sleep. Yet when one rises from sleep, one says, "I slept happily." Sleep is so dear to everyone that no one, prince or beggar, can do without it. When we have vikalpas, doubts, and are trying to give them up, that is, when we are still not perfected but have to make conscious effort to keep the mind one-pointed or free from thought, it is nirvikalpa samadhi. When through practice we are always in that state, not going into samadhi and coming out again, that is the sahaj, natural state. In sahaj, one always sees oneself. He sees the jagrat world and swarupa, reality, or brahmakara, form of Brahman. What is once the means becomes itself the goal, eventually, whatever method one follows, dhyana, meditation, jnana, bhakti, or samadhi is another name for ourselves, for our real state. Knowing oneself is only being oneself, as there is no second existence. This is self-realization. You may go on reading any number of books on Vedanta. They can tell you only realize the self. The self cannot be found in books. You have to find it yourself in yourself. The Lord who has chosen this cavity of the lotus of the heart for his habitation and shines there as I is one who is worshipped as Guhesha, the cave dweller. If the idea that you are this Guhesha becomes through practice as firm in your mind as the idea is now firm in it that you are the body, and you become that God. The ignorance which identifies you with the perishable body will vanish like darkness before the sun. The true karma, yoga, bhakti, or jnana consist in finding out who it is that does the karma or seeks reunion through yoga or feels separation from his Lord or is in ignorance. All these do not exist without the I. So to remain as the I is the truth. If we regard ourselves as the doers of action, we shall also be the enjoyers of the fruits of such action. If, by inquiring who does these actions, one realizes oneself, the sense that one is the doer vanishes, and with it goes all three kinds of karma, sanchitta, agamya, and parabdha. This is the state of eternal mukti or liberation. Our real nature is mukti, but we are imagining that we are bound and are making various strenuous attempts to become free, while we are all the time free. This will be understood only when we reach that stage. We will be surprised that we frantically were trying to attain something which we have always been and are. An illustration will make this clear. A man goes to sleep in this hall. He dreams he has gone on a world tour, is roaming over hill and dale, forest and country, desert and sea, across various continents, and after many years of weary and strenuous travel, returns to this country, reaches Trivannamalai, enters the ashram, and walks into the hall. Just at that moment, he wakes up and finds he has not moved an inch, but was sleeping where he lay down. He has not returned, after great effort, to the hall, but is, and always has been, in the hall. It is exactly like that. If it is asked why, being free, we imagine we are bound, I answer, why, being in the hall, did you imagine you were on a world adventure crossing hill and dale, desert and sea? It is all mind or Maya. The dyads or the pairs of opposites, such as pleasure and pain, and the triads or such differences as the knower, the known, and the process of knowing, depend on one thing, the ego. When one seeks for that thing in the heart and finds out its real nature, they will vanish. Those alone who have found out the real nature of the ego have seen the reality. They will have no more doubts or anxiety. There is no knowledge apart from ignorance, and no ignorance apart from knowledge. That alone is jnana, or real knowledge, which inquiring to whom does this knowledge or ignorance arise, reaches that source, which is the self. I am the body, thought is ignorance. That the body is not apart from the self is knowledge. The body is a mental projection. The mind is the ego, and the ego arises from the self. The body thought is distracting and strays away from the self. For whom is the body or birth? Not for the self, the spirit. It is for the non-self, which imagines itself separate from the self. So long as there is the sense of separation, there will be afflicting thoughts. If the original source is regained and the sense of separation put to an end, there is peace. A stone picked up from its place and thrown up in the sky has no rest till it comes back to earth. The waters of the sea, evaporating and going into the sky as clouds, find no rest till they come back as rain and finally rush back to the sea. The ego can have peace only when it merges back into its source, the self. Seeing God in any form and speaking to Him is as real as your own reality. In other words, when you identify yourself with the body, as in Jagrat, waking state, you see gross objects. When in subtle body or in the mental plane, as in dream, you see objects equally subtle. In the absence of identification, as in sleep, you see nothing. The objects seen bear a relation to the state of the seer. The same applies to visions of God. By long practice, the figure of God as meditated upon appears in dream and may appear later even in the waking state. There was a saint by the name Namdev. He could see, talk, and play with Vitoba, the god of Pandabar. God had to teach him that that was not enough, and one must press on further and realize the self, where seer and seen are one. Vision of Shiva. Vision is always of an object. That implies the existence of a subject. The value of the vision is the same as that of the seer. The nature of the vision is on the same plane as that of the seer. Appearance implies disappearance as well. Whatever appears must also disappear. A vision can never be eternal, but Shiva is eternal. Vishwarupa Darshana, cosmic vision, and Vishwatma Darshana, vision of the universal self, are the same. Such darshana is not by eyesight or in any gross fashion. As there is only being without a second, anything seen cannot be real. That is the truth. The moral behind the story of Astravakya and Gyanaka is simply this. The disciple surrenders himself to the master. That means there is no vestige of individuality retained by the disciple. If the surrender is complete, all sense of individuality is lost and there is no cause for misery. The eternal self is only happiness, and that is revealed. the whole of Vedanta is contained in the two biblical statements, I am that I am, and be still and know that I am God. There is a state beyond our efforts or effortlessness. Until that is realized, effort is necessary. After tasting such bliss even once, one will repeatedly try to regain it. Having once experienced the bliss of peace, no one would like to be out of it or engage himself otherwise. It is difficult for a jnani to engage in thoughts, as it is for an agyani to be free from thought. Any kind of activity does not affect a jnani. He remains ever in eternal peace. Ishta Devita, the deity of one's choice, and Guru are aids, very powerful aids, on the path. But an aid to be effective requires your effort also. Your effort is a sinquanan. It is you who should see the sun. Can spectacles and the sun see for you? You yourself have to see your true nature. Not much aid is required for doing it. First, one sees the self as objects. Then one sees the self as void, and then one sees the self as the self. Only in this last there is no seeking, because seeing is becoming. The more we control thought, activity, and food, the more shall we be able to control sleep. But moderation ought to be the rule, as explained in the Gita for the Sadhak practicer. As explained in books, sleep is the first obstacle for all Sadhaks. The second obstacle is said to be Vishekpa, or the sense objects of the world which divert one's attention. The third is said to be Kashava, or thought in the mind about previous experiences with sense objects. The fourth, ananda, bliss, is also called an object because in that state a feeling of separation from the source of ananda, enabling the enjoyer to say, I am enjoying, is present. Even this has to be surmounted in the final stage of samadhi, which has to be reached where one becomes ananda, or one with the reality and the duality of enjoyer and enjoyment ceasing in the ocean of satchit ananda, existence, consciousness, bliss, or the self. The power of the sage's self-realization is more powerful than all occult powers. To the sage there are no others. But what is the highest benefit that can be conferred on others, as we call them? It is happiness. Happiness is born of peace. Peace can reign only when there is no disturbance by thought. When the mind has been annihilated, there will be perfect peace. As there is no mind, the sage cannot be aware of others, but the mere fact of his self-realization is itself enough to make all others peaceful and happy. The following extract from a letter of the poet Tennyson to B.P. Blood was read out in Sri Bhagavan's presence. Quote, a kind of waking trance I have frequently had quite up from my boyhood when I have been all alone. This has generally come upon me through repeating my name two or three times to myself, silently, till all at once, as it were, out of the intensity of consciousness of individuality, the individuality itself seemed to dissolve and fade away into boundless being. And this is not a confused state, but the clearest of the clear, the surest of the surest, the weirdest of the weirdest, utterly beyond words, where death was almost a laughable impossibility. The loss of personality, if so it were, seeming no extinction, but only true life. Bhagavan said, that state is called abidance in the self.